This is part B of Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world, number 2. Now let's review verse 12 of John 16. I have yet many things to tell you, but you are not able to bear them now. What was one of the most important things that they couldn't bear, and he didn't tell them? When he was going to return. It would not have been very profitable to say, well, guys, go out there with all kinds of zeal, and after you die, it's going to be another 2,000 years before I return. Never happened. Couldn't bear that. And they couldn't bear some of the things of the prophecies that were going to happen. And it was very difficult for them to even conceive that though he talked about Jerusalem being destroyed, that it really sunk into their minds that it was going to happen. Now, verse 13 concerning the Holy Spirit. However, when that one has come, even the Spirit of the truth, that's why I emphasize so many times, what about the Bible? Is it the Word of God, etc., etc.? Yes, because truly Spirit-motivated, or how should we say, Spirit-inspired, but the word for inspiration there is God-breathed, it's going to be the truth. It will lead you into all truth, because it shall not speak of itself from itself, but whatever it shall hear, it shall speak, and it shall disclose to you the things to come. Now, this was especially to the apostles. Now, the way we understand things to come today is we watch as Jesus said, we read and study the scriptures, we read and study the prophecies, and then God gives us the understanding of it with his Spirit. Now, this was especially fulfilled in particularly to whom? John, the one who wrote the Gospel of John. Because why? He wrote the book of Revelation. Now, if you want a very interesting read in the book of Revelation, read it from this point of view. Read it from John's perspective. He was one of the first apostles called, Peter and Andrew, and then James and John. He was with Jesus all the years during his preaching. He was an apostle all of his life. He'd seen all the miracles. He said, seen all the miracles that they performed, and the preaching of the Word of God and the writing of the Word of God. And then he was arrested, and if history is correct, he was thrown into a boiling cauldron of oil, and he did not get a burn. Nothing. Very much like the fiery furnace of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel. So then, after that, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And here he is at 95. And then Christ gives him the book of Revelation. So read it from that point of view. So when Jesus is talking and John is writing, because he commanded him to write, and I thought about that the other day. Wonder what he was thinking when he was writing Revelation 2 and 3, the message to the seven churches. And then he got to see in vision the throne of God, which no one has seen except John. And that was in vision because it was in spirit, Revelation 4 and 5. And then the seven seals, Revelation 6 and 7. Seeing all these world events taking place. Now, I don't know how he saw them. I don't know if it was kind of like in vision where he saw the whole world, or he saw parts of the world. He had to have in order to see the armies, in order to see the things that were taking place, and just carry that right on down through to the very end of the book of Revelation, and you will see that that must have been some tremendous experience for John to go through while he was writing these things, and God was revealing them with his Spirit to him. So he was the greatest recipient of this verse here, verse 13, it shall disclose to you the things to come. All right. Now, let's continue on. Let's look at another thing that's important. Let's come back here concerning the love of God. Let's come here to chapter 14, verse 15, we'll repeat that again. Okay. If you love me, keep the commandments, namely my commandments. And here again, this is reflected also in the epistle of 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John about loving God and keeping his commandments. What did he say, 1 John 5:3? Herein is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So here we have it, right here, a very succinct summary of it. All right, now chapter 15. Here's some more about the love of God. And the kind of love, as we saw, we need to have for each other, and the kind of love that we need to have toward God and Jesus Christ. Verse 9, chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Live in my love. So, our relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ is based not only on commandment keeping, that's the start, but the love of God brings us to a higher level of serving him and loving him and also keeping the commandments. Because it enables us to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our being, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to love each other as Christ has loved us, and to know that that all comes from God. And after what Christ has done for us in giving his life in the way that he has, that will inspire us more to love and understand what God has done for us. Now notice verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. So that's quite a situation, isn't it? So remember this. You get discouraged, you get down, and things are really going tough. Jesus died for you. Think about how he died. Think about the way that it happened. He was betrayed by a friend. Now, have you had problems with friendship and people betraying you? Christ went through that. That's one of the most devastating things that can happen to you in your life. It really, what we would say today, knocks the props right out from underneath your feet. This is why we must always have a total commitment to God the Father and Jesus Christ. And one of the problems that too many people have, not only in this world but also in the church, they do not have that total devotion and love to God the Father and Jesus Christ the way that they need to. Because that's the only thing that is going to sustain you when problems and difficulties arise, and some of them are more than you can bear. And that's why Jesus went through the scourging, the crucifixion, and submitted himself willingly to the most evil perpetration against him by men inspired by Satan the devil. And he had to do that, as I covered before, because he gave from the sin of Adam and Eve to all men the law of sin and death and human nature that is evil and deceitful. And he had to come to save his whole creation, to receive in his human flesh, human nature like we have, but with God's Spirit, did not sin once. So that's so tremendous Do you understand that? So that he could redeem us. In other words, he took upon himself the very judgment that he gave upon all mankind. And that's why he was beaten nearly beyond recognition and shed his blood. And that's why when you read the account, which we will on the Passover night, when Jesus went to pray before he was arrested, he prayed and great drops of sweat filled with blood were dripping down from him because he knew that the whole salvation of the world and mankind was coming to a climax here, and this was the ultimate test. That's why the Passover is so important. Because this is what God has done for everyone individually, because he created every one of us individually, and eventually is going to apply it to the rest of humanity in the unfolding of his plan, as we know how it's going to work out. So this is his love to us. This is his love to the Father. So when he says here, verse 12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, we could have a full discussion on what this means, too. If you love someone, are you going to gossip about them? No. Are you going to talk about them? No. Are you going to do things to them that you would not have done to you? No. So it works both ways, you see. If we're going to love one another, and we all have enough problems that we have ourselves to overcome, we have our weaknesses to overcome, we have the difficulties of the world to overcome, Satan to overcome, ourselves to overcome. That's why we need the encouragement and love of each other, which comes from God. So if you're not going every day to God on your knees and praying to God on your knees and asking for his help, asking for his Spirit, because he promises that he will give his Spirit to those who ask him. And you put that together with study, with prayer, with meeting together, with being with brethren, you see. Think about that. Okay? "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Then as I covered into one, Jesus is your friend. "No one has greater love than this, that one lay down his life for his friends." Jesus is your friend. He will not betray you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. It reminds me of that hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." All right, that's true. All right, now come down here to verse 16. This gets right back to where we started. "You yourselves did not choose me," because the Father had to draw you and he had to come through Christ. "But I have personally chosen you." Now this is part of the New Testament that you really need to think on and meditate on and ask God for understanding. Because God has given the invitation to come. And that invitation you have to answer with prayer, with repentance and baptism, and continually walking in God's way. Because he has personally chosen you. Now you think, man, isn't that something? Think of it this way. The two greatest beings, God the Father and Jesus Christ, have intervened in your life to call you, to choose you, to give you understanding, to lead you in the way. And that's what God has done for you. Furthermore, Christ is your friend and he died for you. Furthermore, he was resurrected from the dead to show that you will have the opportunity to overcome death yourself through him. Now that's a tremendous amount of love, isn't it? And he has personally chosen you and ordained you, especially the apostles and those who are teachers, that you should go forth and bear fruit. Now, for the apostles and the teachers and elders, that is, you bear fruit in your teaching and preaching to the brethren. And for all of us individually, we bear fruit, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the character of God, that he is molding in us with his Spirit, preparing us for eternal life. And so, don't equate the weakness of the flesh or getting old as somehow you're losing it. You're not. Because God designed us so we would die. What did he tell Peter? What did he tell Peter? He told Peter, when you're young, you did what you want to do. I'm paraphrasing John 21. You went where you wanted to go. When you are old, you're going to be led about. And also signifying what death he would die, which was probably by crucifixion. So when you're old and you're weak, God is with you because Jesus said, I will never forsake you. And when we come to the end of our lives, we are going to be helpless, corrupting, how shall I say it, physically and mentally deteriorating, to where you come to the point that you breathe your last breath. Remember this. God will not abandon you even in those circumstances. People may, but God won't. We bring forth the fruit, so that whatever you shall ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. And this is where it has to be in everything that we do, brother. Love one another. Sometimes it gets hard because why? Well, we still have carnal nature. And I don't know about you. I find myself more imperfect every day rather than becoming more perfect because I can see the stupidity of my human nature and the things that cause me to sin and do wrong, because I'm able to understand them in my mind more than just look at the behavior of what I do. But nevertheless, we have to pray, oh God, don't let us do dumb things, okay? Because human beings do dumb things. You've done them. I've done them. You know, even this week I did something. I said, no, that was stupid. Okay. All right, let's go on. Let's see something else that God has done here, okay? Let's see some of the things that we will experience. Because not everything that we go through in our Christian life is going to be fun and joyous and wonderful and good. A lot of them are going to be trials and difficulties. So Jesus wanted to prepare the apostles and those of us who follow to realize the consequences of our actions as Christians in the world and what the world is going to react to us. So let's begin right here, John 15 and verse 18. If the world hates you because you don't go along with them, because you don't keep their days, because you're not glad-handing with them and partying with them and doing all these things, and because you keep the Sabbath and Passover and holy days of God, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And the ones who should have received Jesus didn't. Scribes and Pharisees. They had the law, they had the word of God, They knew it, but as I mentioned in the first message, they hated him because he didn't join them. And they didn't understand that they had to repent. So they hated him. They hated him for everything that he did. Every time he did a miracle, they sought ways, how are we going to get rid of him? And when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that was the final straw. They said to one another, look, the whole world's going after him. We're losing. So they hated him. Realize it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. However, because you are not of the world, we live in it, but we're not part and parcel of the world. But I have personally chosen you out of the world hates you for this. And we're going to see this even more. Just think about all the hatred toward even the name of Christ now by so many people. And they are going to hate us for even speaking the slightest truth. Verse 20. Remember the word that I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. He didn't say where the persecution would come from. Some of it will come from within because you're not willing to compromise. Some of it will come from the world because you won't join them or agree with them. But remember this, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. On the other hand, if they kept my word, they will keep your word also. But they will do all these things to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me. They don't know the Father. No religion in the world knows the Father, because they are a religion, they are a movement. Only those who have the Spirit of God know the Father. So he says here, verse 22, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have had sin. But now they have nothing to cover their sin because of everything that he did, and they rejected him. The one who hates me hates my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that no other man has done, they would not have had sin. But now they both have seen and have hated both me and my Father. But this has happened so that the saying might be fulfilled which was written in their law, they hated me without a cause. Now let's come down here to chapter 16. Let's see what else would happen. So what we're going to do is this. We are going to see, as you go through and read this, and we will read these words at the Passover too, what Jesus is telling us beginning in chapter 13 and 14, 15, 16, and 17. He's telling us where we begin. What's going to happen to us until we come to the end, which we'll read in John 17 in a little bit. Now, chapter 16 and verse 1. I have spoken these things to you so that you will not be offended. In other words, you're not going to say, oh, Lord, why is this happening? And I never will forget in the movie The Robe, where they were persecuting the Christians and throwing them to the lions in the Colosseum, and they had a lot of Christians all in the holding cell to be thrown to the lions, and the movie had this. There were those praying and saying, oh God, you didn't tell us that this would happen. But yes, Jesus did tell them that that would happen. Verse 2, they shall cast you out of the synagogues. Now, we could also say they'll cast you out of the church. Does that happen to you because you wanted to hold to the truth? Sure. Furthermore, the time is coming that everyone who kills you will think that he is rendering service to God. Wasn't that what Paul was doing? Yes. And they shall do these things to you because they do not know the Father, nor me. So that's quite a thing. The experiences go through. All right? But I have told you these things so that when the time comes, you may remember that I said them to you, not like the movie, Lord, you didn't tell us. However, I did not say these things to you at the beginning because I was with you. And probably some of them would have, because they weren't yet on the way to being converted, would have left him. And even remember, after Jesus was raised from the dead, Peter said, I go fishing. And Peter denied him three times when he said, Lord, I'll never deny you. You know, I'll go to the death and go to prison with you. And he says, I say to you, before the cock crows twice, today, in this very night, you will deny me three times. So now he's telling him, okay? I didn't say to these things to you at the beginning because I was with you. Now let's come over here to verse 32, John 16. Listen, the time is coming and has already come that you shall be scattered, each one to his own. And that happened when he was arrested. They all left. That has happened also down through time, when the church has had to be scattered to preserve the truth, to get rid of the false ministers, false brethren, and so forth. Be scattered. And you shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. Meaning that regardless of what the circumstances are, you will have peace of mind, strength of character, to know that whatever comes, you will be able to endure and survive and be in the first resurrection. So he says here, in the world, you shall have tribulation. And sometimes we think, oh, Lord, let's not have quite so much. You know, sometimes it comes that way. But be courageous. I have overcome the world. And remember that Paul wrote, all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It will all work together for good in the long run, because God does not think in the way that we think, and our thoughts are not his thoughts, so we commit ourselves totally to God. And this is the whole purpose of the Passover, that we are in a covenant with God for eternal life. So what we have through here, Jesus told them all the things that they would go through and experience in outline. And then chapter 17 brings us to the point, and I think this is very profound in where it's placed in the Bible and the sequence that everything is done on the Passover night. Because this is Jesus' prayer. And so when things are difficult, keep your mind on the goal. Keep your mind on what you need to do. Now, hold your place here. We'll come back, John 17. Come to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And we will see another thing concerning Jesus' thoughts. What was he thinking when he was going through all of this? What was in his mind? Why would he so willingly lay down his life to be absolutely beaten with an inch of his life and then be crucified? All right. Chapter 12, Hebrews, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by a great throng of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. That doesn't mean you throw caution to the wind. And the sin that so easily entraps us. Whoop, bam! There you go, you sinned. And let us run the race that is set before us with endurance. Here's how. Always keep your mind on the goal, and this goes right back to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Verse 2, Hebrews 12. Having our minds fixed on Jesus, the beginner and finisher of our faith, because He is the one who has personally chosen us, and He is the one that is going to see us to the end, who for the joy that lay ahead of Him, He endured the cross. So whenever you're going through something that is really difficult, keep your mind on the goal. Jesus kept His mind on being the firstborn among many brethren. Kept His mind on all of those that would be called between the time that He would be crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the Father in His return. Kept His mind on the coming kingdom of God when He would bring peace and prosperity to the whole world through the sons of God who would rule and reign with Him. The joy that lay ahead of Him endured the cross, though He despised the shame, because the truth is He was hung up there naked. And is sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Now meditate deeply on Him who endured such great hostility of sinners against Himself, so that you do not become weary and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted to the point of losing blood in your struggle against sin, and in your fight against the world. But those days are coming. Now let's come back to John 17 and see the joy that Jesus was looking to when He was facing the crucifixion. John 17, Jesus spoke these words and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. It's here. Glorify Your own Son, that Your Son may also glorify You. And that was through His death and crucifixion. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh, in order that He may give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. For this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You did send. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work that You gave me to do. And we all have work that we need to finish. And now, Father, glorify Me with Your own self, with the glory that I had with You before the world existed. And that's a proper translation of it. So this is another proof that Jesus was God before He became human. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world, and the name was what? Our Father. That's a New Testament sacred name, by the way. They were Yours, and You have given them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have known that all things that You have given Me are from You, and I have given them the words that You gave to Me. Part of the covenant agreement that they had before He became human. And they have received them and truly have known that I came from You, and they have believed that You did send Me. I'm praying for them. Not only for the apostles there, but we'll see a little later, also for those who would believe through their preaching, and that means everyone who comes to Christ, because they're personally chosen. I am not praying for the world. So any movement that comes along that's going to make the world a better place, and even though they use the name of Jesus, God didn't send them. The world's salvation comes at the return of Christ, not now. But for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All mine are yours, and all yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, keep them in your name, those whom you have given me, so that they may be one, even as we are one. Keeping his mind on the goal, the purpose, the plan, the fulfillment, you see. That's how you endure all these things. When I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. I protected those whom you have given me. And not one of them has perished except the son of perdition, in order that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I'm coming to you, and these things I'm speaking to you while yet in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. And the joy that is really going, when that is going to be completely fulfilled, is at the resurrection. And think what a fantastic thing that's going to be. To be a spirit being. To be a son or daughter of God. To be raised from the dead, and the angels are carrying you up to the sea of glass. And as I mentioned earlier, you know, one of the things we're going to say, oh, you're an angel. What is your name? Oh, well, I've known you since I was assigned to you by God the Father and Jesus Christ. Really? Yeah, and I know all about you. Oh, really? Aren't we glad that's all gone now? Okay, yes. Verse 13, now I'm coming to you, and these things I'm speaking yet, that their joy might be fulfilled in them. Verse 14, I've given them your words, and the world has hated them, because they're not of the world, just as I am not of the world. So if you kind of feel like a misfit in the world, hooray, you should be. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, though we desire that many times, but that you keep them from the evil one. And that's also in the outline of the daily prayer. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world, though we live in the world. Sanctify them in your truth. That's why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We're sanctified with God's Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. We are sanctified through the Word of God, which is the truth of God. All of those come together, you see. Put all the scriptures together. Your Word is the truth. And never forget that. Even as you did send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified in your truth. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who shall believe in me through their word. Now here's the goal. This is the purpose of why there is the Passover. This is the purpose of the covenant of eternal life. This is the whole purpose and goal of what God wants for us. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Completion of God's plan. He finished it up to that point, but he had to go through the crucifixion and the resurrection to bring the door to open the rest of it. In order that the world may believe that you did send me. They're not going to believe it until the second return of Christ. And we'll talk about that as we get down toward Pentecost, because that's going to be an event that the world is not going to like, and it's going to astonish the world. Verse 22, I have given them the glory that you gave to me, that is, receiving of God's Spirit, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected into one. and that the world may know that you did send me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those whom you have given me may also be with me where I am, so that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, because you did love me before the foundation of the world. So this is why we are to also keep our minds on the goal, the whole purpose. This is why we have the Passover every year. This is why it's a covenant of eternal life. This is why we do the foot washing, because it renews our baptism, and eat the unleavened bread, because that's the broken body of Christ applied to our lives and our sins, and drink the wine, which symbolizes his blood, because he gave his very life and his blood so that we could be saved. Righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you did send me, and I've made known your name to them, the Father. And will make it known, so that the love which you have, with which you have loved me, may be in them, and I in them. And so this is why every year we keep the Passover, and there has never been a time that I have not learned more things when it comes to time for the Passover and unleavened bread, and that's just the way it goes with the Spirit of God and the Word of God. So I hope every one of you have a very outstanding Passover and Feast of Unleavened Bread. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.